This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nobody in Kansas City has sports like 96.5 The Fan.
Right side throw, touchdown! Kansas City, a three-yard touchdown pass in overtime! Kansas City wins the game!
Welcome into The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
Back-to-back best sports talk host as voted on in the Pitch magazine.
Live from the Fan Studios, here's CDOT.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You were listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited, thrilled, delighted to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Monday. We have two main objectives today. We will talk about the Kansas City Chiefs draft. We will also highlight the very strong week it was for the Kansas City Royals. We'll do all that coming up momentarily. I want to tell you guys that my name is Carrington Harrison. Rob Britton is here producing this thing. We are taking you up to 6 o'clock today, so we got a full 4 hours to take your phone calls, read your texts, get your reaction on the Chiefs draft. Before we do all that, I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock right here on 96.5 The Fan. And number two, I need you to tell one friend. It would be great if you could tell two friends about the show, but you know what? Beggars can't be choosers. If you could just tell one person about the show, you know what? I would appreciate it. I believe that the Kansas City Chiefs sent us a message with this year's draft class. Let me tell you what I think that message is. I think the Chiefs have been sending this message the entire offseason cycle, and what they did was just continue that theme through the NFL draft. The message that the Chiefs sent is, we believe our offense in 2024 was going to be good enough, we just never got the opportunity to see it. The theme for this offseason has simply been, run it back. It has been, we had enough at running back, but our running back broke his leg. We had enough at wide receiver, but our best wide receiver tore his ACL in the first month of the season. A wide receiver that we were counting on, that we were depending on, hurt his shoulder in the preseason. The team that we were going to field, we thought we were going to field week one, that team was good enough. We just didn't get a chance to see them in full. We want that opportunity in 2025. Every move they have made this offseason has been with that belief intact, and they continue that through the NFL draft. Really think about the selections that the Chiefs made. I like the move of Josh Simmons. We'll talk more specifically about that. We covered it a lot on Friday, but you guys know where I stand with Josh Simmons. I believe that it was the most logical move that the Chiefs could have made in round one. I don't think he's starting this year. I know some of you disagree and think that he could potentially win out that job. You know where I am. I think the finances suggest that he is simply going to sit in year one, and I'm fine with that. But there is a chance that the Chiefs spent the 32nd overall pick on an offensive lineman that is not going to start week one for them. They did not attack an immediate day one need or potentially find a day one starter in round one. I believe that this is more of a pick for 2026 and 2027 than it is for this upcoming season. So with their first pick, their first swing at the draft, they draft a player that I believe the intention is to help them next year, not this year. You then think about the wide receiver group. Brett Veach came into this draft saying that he wanted to get more explosive at running back and wide receiver. Well, you had a couple of opportunities to do that. You had 4 picks in the top 100. They didn't take a receiver in any of those. They didn't take a running back in any of those selections. In fact, they didn't take their first skill position player until pick 133. Now, I like that pick. This is not me telling you that I don't think that Jalen Royals is a good pick, and I think that Jalen Royals is in line with the kind of player that they like. But I think you would agree, if you felt like you needed immediate day one help at wide receiver, you take a wide receiver earlier than pick 133. This is a pick that will probably help you more in 2026, in 2027. We've seen how slow it has been for Chiefs receivers to emerge the last couple of years. Xavier Worthy didn't figure it out to the second half of the season. Rashee Rice, same deal. So you would have to think that Jalen Royals is going to be on that same type of time, and he's also going to be behind three veteran players. I'm not anticipating Jalen Royals having 800, 900 yards receiving this year. That's not the way their offense is going to be set up for him. I don't think he's going to get those targets or those opportunities. So this is another pick that seems like it's going to be in the line of, you're going to probably sit behind Juju Smith-Schuster this year. And in 2026, when his contract is off the books, you'll then plop into that role, and then we'll go from there. So their first two offensive picks, we believe, are future selections. Joshua Simmons, going to start in 2026 on the left or right side. Same thing with Jalen Royals. We talked all offseason about this running back room. I desperately wanted them to go get a running back. When I looked at this class and I saw how many running backs got selected, there were 25 running backs that got drafted this weekend. 25 of them. The Chiefs selected the 21st running back. Now, will he be better than some of these guys? Sure. Is he going to be worse than some of these guys? Certainly. But there were 25 running backs that went off the board. They made the 21st selection on a back. They didn't see it as a pressing need for this team. The Chiefs, I think, sent a very loud and clear message. We like our running back room. We like Isaiah Pacheco. We like Kareem Hunt. We believe that Elijah Mitchell is going to be healthy this year. We're not looking for a guy to come in here and take over the number one job and be a guy that gets 200, 225 carries. No, we're looking for a guy to complement our room and fill out what we're already doing. I think the Chiefs sent a very, very clear message in how they've moved and operated, and this is the team. Sure, maybe they'll make a veteran pickup between now and then, but it's not going to be an impact player. The time to draft impact players is now over. So when we have this conversation in October and you guys are like, well, why don't they? That time's over. That window is closed. Maybe it opens back up at the trade deadline, but this is the team for the Kansas City Chiefs. And I think the message is clear. We're good. Sure, we had to go find our left tackle. We went out and we got Jalen Moore. But for our offense, we believe that Mahomes has everything that he needs. We like this wide receiver room. We didn't go out and get a tight end. We love our tight end room. We think that there's more growth with Noah Gray. We think there's more growth with Jalen Wiley as he gets healthy. And then you look at their wide receiver room. They didn't draft a wide receiver until pick 133. They love their wide receivers and feel like if they had had a healthy wide receiver room, that they would have been an explosive, dynamic offense last year. The Chiefs, to me, have the energy of a team that expects to be top 10, top 8 offensively this year. At least that's how they moved. They didn't move with any sense of urgency when it came to the skill position players. Not running back, not wide receiver, not tight end. Their energy this entire offseason has been, we have enough. Now, it is a simple wait and see. We wait and see if they have enough on offense. Do they have a dynamic enough running back room? Do they have enough at wide receiver? Should they have gone out and made another move when it came to the tight end? But I think it's clear what the Chiefs valued in this draft. They went out and they got back-to-back picks. They pick up defensive line players. You then fill out that cornerback room and create real competition and depth when it comes to that room. One of the picks, when I thought they were going to take a running back in the fifth round, all right, now you still got a chance to take him. There's still some really good running backs on the board when the Chiefs make the selection to go get a linebacker. I mean, you still could have got Devin Neal at that time. You still could have got DJ Giddens at this time. Like, you could have got a running back at that pick 156 if you really wanted to. Ollie Gordon was still on the board. Devin Neal was still on the board. The Mulligans kid that went to Michigan was still on the board. No. We think we're good at running back, and we're going to address these other needs. So, Rob, as we are taking our first look at this draft class, and the draft class is complete for the Kansas City Chiefs, I think their message has been loud and clear. We are more focused on 2026. We are more focused on the trenches, whether it's on the offensive or the defensive side. When it comes to skill position players, at least for this upcoming season, if we're healthy, we believe that we have enough on our offense. We believe that we are well-rounded on our offense. We believe that we are complete. I don't know if you can look at their draft and look at where they selected skill position players and come away with any other conclusion.
The Chiefs use the draft, and they match the energy they have done all offseason. This show has been saying it. They don't have the catchy slogan and the logos and the whole deal. Remember in 2020, it was all run it back, run it back, run it back. They were telling everyone run it back. They're doing the same thing this offseason. They just don't have the swagger of a Super Bowl champion, and they don't have the graphics, and they don't have the song, they don't have the stuff, but they're doing the same. If we pulled up the depth chart for week one of the Chiefs season in 2024 versus what will be week one in 2025, it's going to be eerily similar. You're going to have a new left tackle and a new left guard. Everything else is going to be the same. Same tight end, same receivers, same running back, same, you know, everything on defense, basically the same D-line, same basically the same safety, same corner. It's going to be the same. The Chiefs 2024 and 2025 are the Spider-Man meme. And you know what? It's fine if you're the Spider-Man meme if you are of the belief that the Chiefs had one really bad day on the worst day to have a bad day, which is how One Arrowhead Drive has operated all offseason. You might disagree, I might disagree, the text line might disagree, but Brett Veach, Clark Hunt, Mark Donovan, the power structure over there says, we were a 15-2 team, 15-1 when we tried, that had one really bad day, and we're going to bring that team back and watch out.
All right, let's take a little bit of a break here. Coming up on the other side, there is one major question that I have regarding the Kansas City Chiefs. And you're right, we are allowed to see things differently. But I am still confused. I am confused at how the Chiefs can look at their running back room, look at the long-term viability of their running back room, and come to the conclusion that they didn't need to spend more assets and more resources to address it. We'll talk about it next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right. This is going to be the part of the show where I am a bit critical about the Chiefs and their draft. I know that sometimes you guys don't like to hear me do that, and you believe that Brett Veach is infallible, that he has never made a mistake, he has never missed on a pick, and everything that Brett Veach says is right. If that's how you feel, the next 10 minutes of the show are not for you, and I would suggest you come back, because there are a lot of things that I do like about this draft class. I like the addition of Joshua Simmons and thinks it makes a lot of sense for the Kansas City Chiefs. I like the pick of Jalen Royals and think the value of where you selected him is great value. I understand valuing the trenches and taking defensive linemen and D tackles. I like them trying to continue the depth at cornerback. There are a lot of things that I like about this year's draft class, so I don't want you to hear anything that I'm about to say and take this like I'm down on the Chiefs draft. I'm not. But I do have questions, and I am a bit confused about this team. This is maybe what I'm most confused about with the Kansas City Chiefs. Just a week ago, they told me they were interested in being more dynamic and explosive at the skill position players. Listen to Brett Veach.
You're a few bad weeks away from having no depth at all. I mean, I know I've always said the story a few years back of that defensive end position where we had a 2 or 3 week span where we lost multiple guys. And, you know, last year, Pacheco got hurt early on, and we always want to surround Pat with playmakers. And, you know, the more talented wideouts you can throw on the field at one time is something important to us. And depth at running back. And look, this kickoff role too, I mean, ideally, you know, it would be advantageous for us to identify a receiver and or running back that has explosive playmaking ability on both ends. Remigio did a great job, but again, we're always pushing the envelope to get 1% better. And if we can add another dynamic element to both return phases, that would be something that would make sense. So it's not just wanting to continue to add explosive playmaking at the running back or the receiver position. It's also the return game.
So that was Brett Veach last week. Brett Veach also says that he loved the depth at running back and DN, which makes sense. They drafted a running back and they took a DN very high in this year's draft class.
So the defensive line class in general is good. I think that's probably driven more so by the depth at DN. I think there's a lot of DNs, and I think that you know, running backs is certainly, I think, the deepest class in the draft. A close second would be DN. I think the interior defensive line numbers are I think better than most years, but I don't think they come anywhere close to the D-line depth and the corner depth. I think those two are just wow. I mean, you look at the board and those names go from top to bottom. Interior O-line is light. Corner, I think, is actually decent in the middle rounds. I think D-line is okay, but I don't think it's any more or less than any one particular. I think that where you're getting the big numbers from top to bottom are D-end and running back.
All right. This is where I'm a bit confused by the Chiefs, and you're allowed to disagree. 913-586-7965. This is the same general manager who I would say broke what some of you consider to be the cardinal rule when it comes to running backs in the draft. Rob, you're not against taking running backs in the draft, but there is one round that you are emphatic you should never take a running back in. What round is that?
The first round.
Brett Veach has drafted a running back in the first round, has gone completely against conventional wisdom, and thought that that position was so important that they needed to spend a first-round pick on the position. We have now seen, in 5 years' time, the same organization that drafted a running back in the first round now not seem to value the position at all. They have, since spending a first-round draft pick on a running back, they have used three additional picks on running backs. They spent a sixth-round pick on Darwin Thompson, who is not an NFL player. They spent a seventh-round pick on Isaiah Pacheco, who has turned out to be a good, productive NFL player. And now they have spent another seventh-round pick on a running back draft class that was considered to be generational. Most people that cover the draft felt like running back was one of the deeper positions in this year's draft class. There were 25 of them selected, and the Chiefs didn't draft a running back until the 21st running back had come off the board. Why? I just don't understand how the Chiefs could look at their running back room and last year see that their best running back option averaged 3.6 yards per carry, see how another one of their options in Elijah Mitchell has never stayed healthy at any point in his career. Their other running back is coming off a significant leg injury and is in the final year of his career, or of his contract, excuse me, in the final year of his contract. I don't know how the Chiefs could look at that running back room and see the bevy of running backs that were available in this year's draft class and pass on all of them every single time. And there were certain inflection points in this year's draft class that I was pretty sure, oh, this is where they take a running back. When they went back-to-back D-line choices, sure, you want to take the first one where you get Norman Lott out of Tennessee, but then when you spent the D-line on the 63rd overall pick, I thought when you doubled back at 66, we're about to take a premium skill position player. Nope, we took another defensive lineman. Now, this might upset some of you. There's no way that both of them work. It's the draft. You miss on draft picks. The Chiefs are not going 8 for 8 in the draft. They're going to miss on picks, and that's fine. You expect to miss on picks. It's not a big deal that the Chiefs missed on Darian Kennard. It's not a big deal that the Chiefs missed on Lucas Niang. That's going to happen in the draft. One of those two defensive linemen that they got, whether it's the one from Tennessee or the one from Louisville, one of them is not going to work. Now, maybe you're just trying to shoot as many shots as you can, get as many lottery tickets as you want, and we want to come away with productive players on the defensive line. Sure. But I hear constantly that the goal of this organization is to protect Patrick Mahomes. It's not to give him one of the better run games and take the pressure off of him through that avenue. The best way to keep your quarterback upright, to not get him hit, is to turn around and hand the ball off to a guy that you think could run for 1,000 yards, 1,100 yards, 1,200 yards. They're not interested in having those kind of guys on their team. Were they so burnt by the experience of Clyde Edwards-Helaire that they have completely shifted in the exact opposite direction, and now they spend no resources on running back? They don't spend it in free agency, and they don't spend it in the draft. It's confusing to me. Maybe I'm beating a dead horse, and maybe you guys don't care about this, but the frustration to me that the Chiefs have one of the most valuable players, if not the most valuable player in the NFL, and seem to not see a value in giving him one of the better run games in the National Football League is confusing to me, especially when this was the time to do it. You didn't have to spend a bunch of resources to go do it. Nobody's asking you to go get Saquon Barkley in free agency. We're not asking you to go get Derrick Henry in free agency. You couldn't have spent a fourth round pick on a running back this year. They couldn't have spent a third round pick on a running back this year. Got Dylan Sampson, a guy that I think could run for 1,000 yards in this year's class, 1,100 yards in this year's class. It just doesn't make sense to me. I don't like it. I want this on the record that I was against how they handled running back this year. And during the season, we'll see if I'm wrong. But history will tell you they're going to probably have some injury concerns with a couple of their backs. Are you trusting Isaiah Pacheco to stay healthy for 17 weeks? Are you trusting Elijah Mitchell to stay healthy for 7 weeks? They're going to be in a position where we're going to wish that they spent more time and more resources at running back, and they seem to disregard it at every single turn that they had a chance to try to improve the room this offseason.
So me and you see this a little different, but not all that differently. I don't mind them waiting on running back. If it is as deep of a class as you tell me, and by you I mean the Mel Kuypers of the world, the Daniel Jeremiahs of the world, Jay Binkley, whoever is your go-to draft analyst, all of them were saying deep, 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 deep. If it's that deep, there are good running backs in the fifth, sixth, and seventh round. There are. You don't have to waste a third-round pick, a fourth-round pick on one. So I don't mind them being patient. There were two times that I was a little surprised the Chiefs didn't make a move for running back. And we just see the times differently. I'm actually not surprised, nor am I upset that in round three they didn't spring. I don't get a D tackle, get a D end, get a whatever in round two and three, get a corner, get those guys, and do not waste time running back early. I was surprised they traded up in the fifth round to go get a linebacker. That's when I thought it was going to be running back time. At that point, I'm pretty sure Ollie Gordon was still on the board. I'm pretty sure DJ Gins was still on the board. I know for a fact Evan Neal was on the board. They trade up in the fifth round. They got the Bosa kid from Oregon. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was the moment. Hey, it's a deep class, but a lot of the explosive players are still there. It's round five. It's time. They didn't. Now, time will tell who's right. But I like the idea, the thought, the process by Brett Veach and co. of this is a deep class. At a low-value position, we're going to take a low-value pick, and we think because the depth of the class, the guy we're getting in the seventh round might be a fifth or sixth round talent in other classes, and we might have a little bit of a steal in Breshard Smith. So I don't dislike the process. I was surprised they waited as long as they did, but if it's as deep as a position, you can find value later than in a normal draft. So I didn't dislike it the same way you did. I was surprised they waited till the seventh round, but I have no issue with it conceptually.
Someone on the text line says, CDOT, if you were to draft a running back, which drafted player do you forego? Rob and I are on the same page. Now, this Jeffrey Bosa kid might turn out to be a very productive player. They drafted a linebacker that he's just not going to get a lot of sacks. And that's some of that is just their defense and the scheme that they run. If there is one thing that I think the Chiefs have, they got a lot of C-ball, hit-ball linebackers who are rotational pieces. That was the time, in my opinion, when they moved up in the draft class and they moved up to pick 156. That was the time that I would have taken a running back. So they moved up to 156, and they took this linebacker. Now, I know that some of this, maybe you have to move up a little bit more, but you probably could have. in that range. Jordan James went off the board, the running back from Oregon. Jaden Blue went off the board. He was Texas' best running back last year. DJ Giddens, you guys are super familiar with him. He went five picks before this linebacker went. Ollie Gordon went pick 179. Devin Neal went 184. Mullings, who was the number one running back on Michigan last year, he went 188. A running back, the starting running back from Patrick Mahomes' alma mater, went 193. There was a window right there where the Chiefs, you didn't have to spend a premium pick, and I probably would have spent a higher pick on a running back. I maybe would have drafted one in the third round. That's not where they decided to go. But I do think there was a window there where you could have got more explosive at the position, and they just simply chose not to go get one of those backs. Now, ultimately, we have to see if they're right or they're wrong, but someone on the text line says, C-Dot, maybe they want to go get Nick Chubb. If there's one thing I am tired of the Chiefs doing, I don't want them to do it anymore. Nick Chubb last year averaged 3.3 yards per carry, and he's 29 years old, and he has an extensive injury history. I don't want them to go get these running backs anymore. I don't want them to go get any more running backs who were really good in 2018 and 2019, who have a long injury history, who are going to be 30 years old at any point this season. This was the time to get away from that and get a 22-year-old running back who's going to be on the team long-term that you can build around, that has some young legs, some juice. Not a guy who has 1,500 carries in his career. And no. So I don't want Nick Chubb on this team. They already have Nick Chubb on this team. They have two or three Nick Chubbs. So that's just not what I would have done. I don't have many complaints about how they handled their draft. I like their draft. I really do. Maybe it doesn't sound like I like their draft. I like their draft. I like Joshua Simmons. It makes sense to me to go get the pass rusher when you got Norman Lott in that second round. I probably wouldn't have drafted the D tackle from Louisville right after taking the defensive end. I probably would have went running back there, but I'm not going to be mad at you taking a defensive tackle that looks to be a run stuffer that kind of replaces Deshaun Wharton, and you put him there in the middle. That's a fine position to me. You know I'm always going to be on the side of you going to get corners, especially one that led the country in interceptions last year and looks like he could be a potential ball hawk, especially in this defense. The Chiefs made a lot of really solid selections, and Daniel Jeremiah said that this was a starter draft. I think they drafted a couple of future starters for this year's draft class. My frustration is, if you believe that protecting Patrick Mahomes is paramount, well, handing the ball off to a quality running back is one of the ways to protect him. That's one of the ways to do it. You give the ball to a guy that you're going to give the ball to 200, 225 times, and that's a guy that you think can get you 4.6 to 5.1 yards per carry. That's a way to protect your quarterback, and the Chiefs just, they don't seem to value it anymore. They did at a time. I mean, this was the same organization that spent the top 100 pick on Kareem Hunt. This is the same organization that spent the top 35 pick on Clyde Edwards-Helaire. That time is just over. They are looking for bargain basement, $3 million a year, seventh-round pick running backs. They don't value the position anymore. That's where we are with the Chiefs. We'll get back to the Chiefs draft coming up in just a little bit. Let's talk about the top story of the draft, which I think the top story is Shedeur Sanders. I think that all of us are culpable in a lot of ways for this. All of us. Let's start with the media, because I think it has to start with the media. Some of this, and I would say a lot of this, is our doing. We built up a fourth and a fifth round pick and made him into a celebrity and a star. That's what we've done. Through mock drafts, through conversation, through a lot of things, we turn Shedeur into something that his game clearly suggests that he's not. A year ago, after the draft, you could have bet on Shedeur Sanders to be the number one overall pick. It was at plus 100. I bet you if we go back and we look at mock drafts, we look at Mel Kiper and Todd McShay and Daniel Jeremiah and the people that do this for a living, they were telling you a year ago that Shedeur was going to be a top five, top 10 pick, maybe a player that goes number one overall in the draft. There's a couple of different kind of mock drafts. There's one that are complete entertainment. They're fiction. They're fan fiction is what they are. They have no Barrett, no nothing. They're just for you to click on and read and find interesting. And that's cool. I read them. We all read them. Hey, what do they think next year is going to happen in the draft? Don't take those seriously. But I think once we get closer to the draft, you start to see more and more, oh, this is based on information based on what you were hearing. You got sources. This is a business that runs on information. Adam Schefter's job is to relay information. Ian Rappaport, their job is to know what's going on in the league and then relay that information to us. And as we've gotten deeper and deeper into this process, I think we started to learn the information that we got back was not good about Shedeur. And the league didn't feel that way about him as a prospect. We are guilty in this. We built up a player to something that he's not. I've thought this from the beginning with Shedeur. He is a above marginal talent. He doesn't have incredible speed, doesn't have incredible strength, doesn't have great arm strength, but you can be a good quarterback. But I think we built him up to be a top five pick, an elite prospect. He's not that. A lot of this is also on Shedeur and his people. They treated it like he was an Instagram model. You're not. You're a six. I'm sure every fella can identify with this analogy. Have you ever met a girl and she was cute, she was fine, but she was just really high maintenance and really difficult to deal with? And in the back of your mind, you're thinking, you're not cute enough to act the way that you act. Like, you really got a very high opinion of yourself. I mean, you cute, but you not all that. That's the way Shedeur acted as a prospect. I was going back and listening to clips because, you know, the internet loves to pull up clips and things that you said and things that you did. Deion is talking about Shedeur being a top four pick and says that he's going to dictate where he goes and that they're going to pull an Eli Manning. I also firmly believe that Shedeur and his team tanked interviews. I believe they were behind the scenes trying to manipulate. No, I don't want to go here. I do want to go here. I do want to go here. You can't do that if you're a mid-round pick. You know what Shedeur should have done this entire time? He should have kept his head down and treated it like you were a mid-round pick. And maybe that's asking a lot, but you know what Shedeur should have done? He should have went to the combine. Cam Ward wasn't going to be there. Travis didn't participate. Ashton Jeanty didn't participate. You would have been the star of the combine. Go to the combine on national TV and wow people. People that don't think physically you are a good enough player, and go out there and prove them wrong. Do all the drills. Do the cone drills. Do the bench press. Do all of those things. Interview and test well and change people's perception of you. Go to the Senior Bowl and dominate. You didn't want to do that. You didn't want to do all of the work that a mid-round draft pick has to do. All right, well, then you got to start interviewing well. Well, you didn't really interview well. There is not a single report that Shedeur had a good interview. I don't think there is some wide conspiracy on Shedeur. I don't think people like him. And usually, if you are in a job interview and the person interviewing doesn't like you, they don't hire you. That's not how this works. I think Shedeur rubbed a lot of people the wrong way throughout this entire process. And the NFL will usually put up with a lot. They usually put up with a lot if you're really good at something. There's NFL players that have killed people. Jalen Carter killed somebody. He might be the best defensive player under 25 in the league. So they'll put up with it. You know what? It wasn't that big of a deal. That's how they act. You can get away with some stuff if you're really good at the football. They don't think Shedeur is really good at the football. So if you're not really good at the football and they don't like you, you are not getting drafted very high. And that's the message that they sent. But I think this is important to note with Shedeur. Very, very important to note with Shedeur. It doesn't matter where you get drafted. There's countless examples of players who were underdrafted, overdrafted, wherever it is, that still ended up being good football players. Your draft position does not determine the kind of pro you will be. How you perform and react once you get there will determine how good of a pro you can be. I know it sounds weird. I actually think Cleveland was the best possible place for him. Look at that quarterback room. You've got Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, Dylan Gabriel, and Shedeur Sanders. There is a chance that Shedeur starts in the NFL this upcoming season. I don't know what week, I don't know what game, but we all know how this NFL thing works. You got two veterans there on the roster. Let's say that Kenny Pickett starts. Let's say Joe Flacco starts. I don't want to argue with you guys. Let's say that Joe Flacco starts week one. Joe Flacco will probably be, I don't know, Joe Flacco. He'll throw some interceptions. He'll be all right. The Browns will be 2-5. And we all know The media will ask for it. The fans will ask for it. Their offense needs a spark. And we want to see one of the young guys. We might as well play one of the young guys. Shedeur Sanders can be one of those young guys. But now comes the really hard part. Now it's doing the work. I have had this question about Shedeur from the very, very beginning. This is not hindsight being 2020. Do you want to be famous or do you want to be a football player? Because you can be a football player and be famous. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, very famous. Sits courtside, can do whatever he wants to do. I mean, Tom Brady, very famous. Peyton Manning, very famous. You have never questioned if Patrick Mahomes cares about football. You've never thought for a second that Patrick Mahomes cares more about the off-the-field stuff than he does the on-the-field stuff. I don't know if that's the case with Shedeur. Shedeur, after not being drafted in round one, had a concert afterwards. Can you imagine that? You thought you were going to be the third pick. You thought you could be the ninth pick, the 21st overall pick. You didn't get drafted in day one, and then you think, let me hop up on this stage? That was your first inclination after not getting drafted in round one? There's some maturity that needs to happen there. There's going to be some humbling. There has to be some realization. The league just told you they don't think you're good enough to do this. So ultimately, it is up to you. Are you going to prove people wrong? You will be given a chance. You might not be given a second chance, but you will get a chance to start in this league. Most players do. You get one or two opportunities, and what you make of that opportunity is your own. But now it's time to put the watch down, put your SoundCloud page down, put all of this nonsense down, and go be a football player. And go dominate and play at a high level and prove people wrong. People that openly want to see you fail. The internet spent the weekend laughing at you for being drafted. Prank calls laughing at you falling in the draft. If you can't use that as motivation to come out and prove people wrong, then it's time for you to go be an Instagram influencer. That's what it's time for you to go be. It's time for you to go be a SoundCloud rapper who spits average bars and be an Instagram influencer. You are about 2.5 years away, maybe sooner, from being that. We'll get back to the Chiefs draft coming up in just a bit. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Hey, it's Lucas Ersig from the Kansas City Royals. You're listening to The Drive with CDOT on 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
I'm going to go back and I want to read a couple of these texts. Text line 913-586-7965. Someone asked a question about Bershad Smith. CDOT, what do you not like about him? He was fourth in total yards last year. Dude seems like a perfect fit. I guess this would be my issue more with Bershad Smith than anything. Over the last 15 years, there has been one running back who was drafted in the seventh round that ran for 1,000 yards. I just think if you were going to spend that late resource on a running back, there is a noticeable ceiling on the kind of player that he can be. We all think Isaiah Pacheco is a good player, but I think we also now can kind of see some of the limitations that come with Isaiah Pacheco, who I would say, if we are going back and I pulled up the last 27th round running backs who got selected, Isaiah Pacheco was probably near the top of those. You guys, some of you guys, I don't want to say all of you guys, some of you guys don't think he's the best running back on this roster. So my issue with Bershad Smith more than anything is you took a very minimal swing, and I'm not really sure if it's going to pay the dividends that it would have if you had just spent a little bit more of a resource and drafted a running back that was in the top 150. Like, if I ask you guys, who do you think turns out to be a better back, Smith or Giddens? You guys saw DJ Giddens for, what, 3-4 years at K-State. Who do you think turns out to be a better running back? I'm going to guess that DJ Giddens turns out to be a better back. Devin Neal, who got drafted by the Saints, who do you think turns out to be a better back? Those guys were there. My question about Smith as a player would be, A, for 3 years, you were a backup. Like, you were at Miami. You didn't really play at Miami, and you were a backup. I mean, the 3 years before this past year at SMU, he ran for 23 yards, 22 yards, and 132 yards. His first 3 years at Miami, he caught the ball a little bit out of the backfield. He then transferred this past year to SMU. He had a dynamic season at SMU. 235 carries, 1,300 yards, 5.7 yards per carry. Caught the ball out of the backfield a little bit. And then you look deeper at the box score. Rob, they played BYU. BYU was a playoff contender, right? BYU was one of the best teams in the country this past year. He ran for 75 yards against them. They played Penn State, one of the best defenses in college football this past year. You want to know how he did against Penn State? 18 carries for 62 yards, 3.4 yards per carry, didn't score a touchdown in those games. So I'm simply looking at his box score. He was really good against Boston College last year, was really good against Florida State. The teams that you think are good college football teams, he wasn't that great in those games. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be a bad pro or a great pro. I think he will just end up being fine. And they had an opportunity to be better than fine at running back. They had a chance, I believe, out of this fifth through sixth round pick. We can even expand it out a little bit more if you want to. There is going to be a fourth or fifth round pick running back that runs for 1,000 yards this season. One of those running backs that we have been talking about for the last couple of months, they are going to run for 1,000 yards this season. And we're going to look back and think, man, like, the Chiefs had a chance to get Bucky Irving. Like, why didn't they get Bucky Irving? He was sitting right there for him. That player will find itself in the draft, and I just don't think it's the one that they got. I don't think they think it's the one they got. I'm assuming he'll help a little bit. He'll be in a rotation with those other guys. They had a chance to go get a number one back in this year's draft class, and I don't think that realistically you can feel like you got that with the 223rd pick. You got another rotational piece. A rotational piece that can help you a little bit in special teams, and we'll see if he ends up being a plus player for you. That's what I think they ended up getting. Rob, was there a running back that you wanted as you saw the board kind of fall together?
I mean, the bias in me obviously wants Devin Neal. Like, come on now. Devin Neal's my guy. But if you want my honest, objective, who I think the Chiefs should have picked answer, it's Dylan Sampson. Dylan Sampson. Now, maybe the Chiefs scouts and Brett Veach and who's the guy to talk today? Ryan Nutt. All those guys and Andy Reid, maybe all they looked at Dylan Sampson's tape and they said he is a product of Josh Heupel's system. It's not him. That's very possible. They're never going to comment on that, but it's likely that's probably what happened. But when I see Dylan Sampson, I see a guy who can catch the ball a little bit, which is super important in Andy Reid's offense. I see a guy who can run the ball, and I see a guy who maybe put a little weight on his body with a year of development, which any running back would have had in 2025 because of the way their room shakes out. He can be an every down explosive back starting in 2026 for this team. So my bias, my KU sunglasses aside of Devin Neal, my answer was Dylan Sampson. And I was surprised Dylan Sampson kept dropping. A lot of the mocks had him in round three or four. He was sitting there in four, five, and six. I thought for sure we were going to get the Dylan Sampson news when they trade up for the linebacker from Oregon, Jeffrey Bassa.
I do want to note that Breshad Smith was a wide receiver when he was at Miami. His wide receiver numbers were he had 14 catches for 199 yards as a freshman, 33 catches for 308 yards as a sophomore. He had 22 catches for 263 yards. So he was not a prospect at wide receiver. They then converted him to running back, and he ended up having a pretty good year last year at SMU. I do want to note that point. I want to play this audio for you guys. This is Mike Renner. We had him on the show last week. Shout out to Mike Renner. Here he is giving his draft grade for the Chiefs.
Yeah, I got an A, too. They had three guys who I think are just absolutely perfect fits for what they need. One's Josh Simmons. I think if he's healthy, if that patella is fully back this year, he is as good as the guys we saw come off the board 25 picks earlier. And then Noel Williams is a Steve Spagnuolo corner. He wants to get feisty. He wants to press. He wants to ruin your day as a wide receiver. And then the fourth round, Jalen Royals, just keeps this speed going. This is a dynamic receiving core now. He had the fastest 10 split of any wide receiver at the combine. You see that on his tape. He just had such a weird usage there and got hurt this past year, but he was on pace for almost 1,500 yards this season before he got hurt.
I would say, of all of the selections that the Chiefs made, the one that I am most confident in, the one that I am most sure, oh, that's going to work, is Jalen Royals. If you listen to the way they talk, they are calling him Rashee Rice-like. We have seen that style, that caliber of wide receiver. We've seen it now work back-to-back times in this offense. Underneath, across the middle, drag routes, crossing routes, get the ball in your hands. We've seen that receiver work. I also think that they are in a great position to bring him along slowly, and unless injuries happen the way that it did last season, you are not anticipating on Royals being a focal point of your offense. Like, if we sit here and we had to make a list, how many of their skill position players do you think are ahead of Royals coming into this season? It's probably five, six, seven, potentially. So I think he's in a really good position to kind of sit back, learn. I think he'll make a couple of big plays that end up help shifting a game in Kansas City's favor. And you are counting on this being much more of a year two, year three asset. And just if you hear the way that people talk about him and the kind of prospect that he is, the speed that he has, what his strengths are, how I think they line up with this offense, I feel pretty confident about the Jalen Royals. I'm always going to be on the side of skill position players and putting more things around Mahomes. But taking that swing in the fourth round on Jalen Royals, I mean, that's what you want to do. You take a pick on a guy that some people thought could be there in the second round, could maybe go in the third round. He falls, at least on people's draft boards, he falls to the fourth round. You take a swing on a guy's measurables. You take a swing on a guy's feel for the game, and then you factor him into the offense. I would say one thing that this regime has never really developed, they haven't really developed a third or fourth wide receiver option. They've gone out in free agency and found that player, but they've never found the guy that can come in, have 500-600 yards, be pretty consistent in that role, help you in special teams on a rookie contract. I think they potentially found that players in Royals. So there's some things that I love about this year's draft class. There's some things that I think are missing in this draft class. But if you had to ask me right now, if I had to bet on 3 years from now, who do we think makes the biggest contribution to this team? Who was able to really help this team? I think the Royals is going to be near the top of that list. I really like that pick, and I think they got really good value in the fourth round. Coming up on the other side, Binkley's going to join us in studio. We'll get his thoughts on the Chiefs draft. We'll also get his thoughts on Shedeur Sanders. That was falling in this one. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.